debt. Last time we met, we talked about parental debt. How you bought the should-bes or the should-not-bes based on how you looked and saw your parents. And it could be either positive or negative, but either way, somehow you make a contract that says, I want to be like that, or I don't want to be like that, or I will be like that, or I won't be like that. Marie asked me the other night why that Tyra and I didn't get married. And I answered the best I could, but there was another reason that I just thought of a little while ago, and that is that I had made a vow based on watching my parents that I would never get married. And that vow was so strong that it didn't matter who it killed or who it hurt or what it did. It was simply that debt that became overpowering. I will never get married. There's 1,000 other debts that we have that we make believe, we look, we see, we say, I want to be this way or I don't want to be that way. And all that happens to us at a core level, as we open our eyes, we just are lonelier and lonelier and lonelier and lonelier and lonelier. We try to hide the loneliness, but I'm convinced that the main fruit of the debt is aloneness. That's the one singular thing that I've seen in all of the first fruit meetings that I've had this year. I didn't always talk about it as I saw it, but the loneliness is the fruit of the debts that we declare. The debts as a result of the contracts and the images that we've made. Because we can't be content, and if we can't be content where we're sitting, where we are, then our mind will take us somewhere else, and where the other place it takes us is there's never anyone else there. Can you hear me? And so what we end up with this terrible, terrible, terrible aloneness. And we make believe it isn't there. And it's in the midst of whether or not we are married or going with someone or single. We are alone. So we do all kinds of things to try to make the aloneness satisfactory or tolerable. We watch movies, we watch television, we hang out with people sometimes, but mostly we're alone. And we're not made to be alone. One of the first things that God said, it was not good for man to be alone. I look back at my life, and all my life has been is a way to make loneliness tolerable. And I did it primarily with adrenaline rushes. I climbed mountains. I jumped out of airplanes. I was in real dangerous situations so that I would get adrenaline rushes so I could make loneliness tolerable. And some of you have other ways of making the loneliness tolerable. Sex is a way you make aloneness tolerable. I tried that one too. But then you have a climax, and then what?
Then you get pregnant.
It's one thing that happens.
Still alone.
But then you're still alone. Now, then we come into a mystery. And all of a sudden, we can be in a situation where people know everything there is to know about us. And they like us anyway. And we're still alone. Because the tapes continue to play in our minds. I can't tell that. I can't say that. I can't do this. I can't do that. Because the goal of this motherfucker right here is to keep you alone. And we miss the mystery. The mystery is it's that our weakness. It's our mistakes. It's our screw-ups. That cause aloneness to disappear. We can't believe that. I gotta act like I'm strong. I gotta act like I got it together. I can't let anybody know that hurt my feelings. That's an unacceptable tape in my mind. That's being vulnerable. Think of the times, in the times that you've had a marriage or been in a marriage or a relationship when someone just cut you to the quick and your response was rage instead of the honest response was, that really hurt me. The honest response would have been and produced life. But instead, we show forth rage. Because, and then the cycle, then the separation, and the more loneliness.